Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I am your host, Jeff Howard, and today I've got filmmaker Rachel Thomas Medwid with me, which is kind of exciting. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So the reason I'm saying it's exciting is Rachel actually showed up at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2018, and you're one of those people who surprised us by coming from out of town. You had your screenplay, The Lost Opera, was an official selection. And what do you normally, like, screenwriters don't show up unless they're local. And you showed up. And you were awesome. I really enjoyed hanging out. It was actually just fun. If those who don't know, the Sherman Oaks Film Festival is actually really kind of a nice neighborhoody affair where everyone gets to meet each other. So it was even cooler when a year and a half later, Rachel showed up. Well, almost showed up at the film, the other festival I program, Filmvasion Los Angeles, that's every June. So in June of 2020, Rachel's film, The Squirrels in the Attic, was an official selection at Filmvasion Los Angeles. So that's the second time I got to see her, although it was on Zoom, because for those who can't do the math, June 2020 was not a good era for film festivals. And then, lo and behold, this super productive screenwriter and director came back 1 year later with In the Company of Crows, which, by the way, like, just in case you're thinking, I'm just going to, like, toot Rachel's horn for a second and say, you know, it's not that she's, like, making, like, little quickie 5 minute shorts and bringing one back every year. Like, Squirrels in the Attic is a really well-made film that has production design, all kinds of elements to it. And then she comes back 1 year later with an even more impressive, more cinematic, longer film. It's like you can feel this filmmaker working your way up to making a feature. I mean, I can tell. But the bummer is those two festivals, Filmvasion in 2020 and 2021, both virtual festivals. 2021, I really thought we were maybe going to be in person again, but, you know, COVID surges.
Yeah, well, thank you for that introduction. That was lovely. Yeah, and it is. I was there in 2018, hoping to go back with the film, 2020, and then 2021. But yeah, the virtual experiences were exciting as well. Not quite the same. But that, you know, having Sherman Oaks as that was my first festival I went to as a screenwriter. And that was like a huge game changer for me in terms of like screenwriting. And I was so happy that I went. And it was like a fun weekend getaway, right? I mean, I had my friend with me. We had a great time. But it really like opened up these my eyes about film festivals. I didn't know until that point that, you know, most festivals have unproduced screenplay categories. Because until then I was, you know, doing well in contests. But there wasn't a lot of follow through with those. Like I would win something and then it's probably more that I didn't have the knowledge to follow through. But being able to go to film festivals in like 2019 was a fantastic year. I went with a lot of different, screenplays to a lot of different festivals. And like, they were just amazing learning experiences for me. And it's, you know, ultimately why I ended up directing. You know, that was the direction I was going. And I think if I didn't, you know, go to these, I probably wouldn't be doing this. And so I do tell a lot of screenwriters, even if they're, you know, just make your own films, even if you just do it on your phone, it will change the way you write and it will really help your screenwriting.
For sure. For sure. And I'm tempted to ask a follow-up question, but what I normally try to do is go back to the beginning. If I can bug you to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've obviously been a writer for much of your life, but when did you first get interested in writing and film? What got you into that?
Yeah. So, I was a short story writer. You know, in college, I was an English major and I did a collection of short stories and I did that for a long time. Then, you know,
did it start as a kid? I don't want to interrupt, but like, as a kid, were you always writing growing
up? Yeah, I was. And you know, it's funny. I was also making films. I was one of those people who like, I was making terrible horror films with my friends. And like, I've done it as an adult too. Like, you know, we're away on a weekend. I was like, you guys, we're making a movie. And I mean, they're horrible, but I was always doing that. And I did not not put them together, like the two things, and I'm writing and doing those. You know, you always hear those filmmaker stories. They were always making movies, you know? So I was doing that on a really kind of goofy level, but you know, I just love doing it. But the screenwriting, started when I was writing a book and I couldn't finish, and but I couldn't let the story go. And I asked myself, like, why can't you just move on and write something else? And it was, you know, my answer to myself was I wanted to see it on the screen. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just write a screenplay instead of a book. I'll skip that step. And then, but I didn't know, I'd never even seen one. So I got a book and self-taught. I taught myself, and it was actually a very freeing format for me in writing. So, you know, I wrote a feature first that was supposed to be the book, and it's done really well. I mean, again, I have to let these things go for a while. They're still sitting there and they're not dated, but you can only focus on a certain amount of things that, you know, at a time. So, and then I wrote my TV pilot, which was The Lost Opera at Sherman Oaks, which also won the grand jury prize there, which was very, very exciting. It was an exciting moment for me. I'm like, I'm at a festival and I've won a prize.
You won a prize and you were there in person to like come up on stage.
I know, it was thrilling. But so anyway, so then once I started going to festivals, though, then, you know, I'm watching these short films where that was very motivating to me to, I said, oh my, I have all this material already from short stories that I turned into to screenplays. And now I'm working on all new content that weren't short stories. But like, I think, you know, the general public doesn't really watch short films. There's not a lot, they're not super accessible. So having seen, like, they can be amazing. And I was like, this is such a great format, you know, to get your feet wet, and I can just do them pretty quickly, you know, whip out a screenplay, and, you know, I edit for a while, but, you know, I can write one in a couple of days, which is a totally different project than a feature. So like, they're very satisfying to do for me, and I love it. And I have so many ideas. So that was, you know, how I got to the directing part with The Squirrels in the Attic, which was my first. And it was a runner up in a contest in New York, and the prize was, a table read in New York City. So I went down for that, and it was great. And the production company, they were, you know, interested in producing it, which was, you know, that's what your goal is as a screenwriter. So I was really excited about that. But then I was having some conversations with people, and they really encouraged me to direct it myself. And I was like, well, I don't even really know what that means.
And that was the contest that you won with the script. And by the way, I don't even know if I covered that you live back east. I mean, well, I did say you came from out of town. So you went to New York, and if they had produced Squirrels in the Attic, it wouldn't have had you at the helm.
No, it wouldn't. And yeah, so I had some meetings with them, and it was exciting, and they would have been awesome to work with. They were great. But then after having this conversation, you know, it was actually with another festival programmer where my screenplay had been in their festival, and he was like really encouraging, and he just made it seem so matter of fact. I think it was that I'd had people tell me that before at festivals, and you know, it was, he was so matter of fact about it. He's like, I know you can do it, but you know, just do it. And I think it was just his very like straightforward. And once I had figured out where I could film it, the location, which is a camp in my town, once I had that, then all I just was gung-ho. And, you know, I had to learn. Again, I knew nothing. So I had a list, like after work every day, I would have like a list of like 10 to 15 to 20 things that I had to figure out how to do. And I would do it. And it was all in a matter of like 5 weeks, I think, from when I decided to when we actually shot it. And we shot it in like January 2020. You know, and we were all super green going in.
I mean, that's quick. That's really quick, actually. If you had told me you took 5 months gearing up, I would have thought it was quick.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I was like, but it was almost like you just didn't have time to second guess anything. And then, you know, and then just having that set experience was like priceless, you know, for me. You know, it's scary when you do it. But I'm so happy I did, because, you know, as a screenwriter, it takes off like... There's this pressure, not pressure, but if you want to get your stuff made, it's this constant striving to find somebody to do it. And it's so competitive. And like, you want your stories told. That's what screenwriters want, right? You want to share your stories. That's the main goal, I think. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard to make that happen. And so like now for me, there's so much more enjoyment in the process of like creating a story. Cause I'm not going to make them all. There's too many, but, I have that option and I love it. It's fantastic. And I can tell it the way that I really want to tell it.
For sure. And, you learn, yeah. What it's interesting. Cause when you're talking about that, I'm thinking, yeah, because when you're a screenwriter and you're not, first of all, I think all screenwriters are directors in their mind. Like you have to be seeing the film in your mind as you're working on that script, which is directing, right? Directing is just projecting it. And if you become a professional screenwriter who's not a filmmaker, your job is completely different. You know, it becomes the job of trying to figure out somebody else's vision and make them happy while not ruining your own soul. Like, it's actually really hard. It's really like, so the path you're taking is probably the most rewarding, I bet.
It's very rewarding. I wasn't sure going in if I was going to like directing. I mean, it's overwhelming. Like, you know, you're not just thinking, you're thinking of so many things, you know, how it is. It's, you know, immersive and very intense. And, you know, I'm an introverted writer. So I was like, I'm not sure about this, but you know what? I love it. I just love it.
So do you see yourself like, you know, I've picked up now English major and always been a writer and making fun films and stuff, but was part of you like, I just want to lock away in a room and type away in a keyboard and be left alone?
No, I'm not that.
Yeah. Extreme. Cause you're very social. You like, you know, you came out to lots of, you know, you came to every screening and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, no, I am very social, but you know, so people are always surprised when I say I'm an introvert, but it's just the classic, like I get drained by that stuff and do need to retreat a lot and I need a lot of alone time, but I am very social. I love people and that's not really, you know, so no, I don't want to lock myself away.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that makes sense. And that you are actually expressing what I've heard a lot, which is, yes, there's the extrovert and introvert, right? There's introvert who you really need me time and you really need the recharge. But yeah, you also, if you go too long without something social, you're like, I really need some people over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was one of those people who, I think we're about the same there, because I was one of those people who at first was delighted that COVID meant I could stay home all the time.
Right.
But then I did hit a point after a month or three where it was like, oh my God, people have to come over and hang out outside in the backyard. Like I have to talk to someone other than the two people I live with, because God damn, I'm, you know, it's not good enough. Family's not good enough. Got to get some friends over.
We did that even in New England. You're lucky you're in LA. We sat out in our snowsuits outside to socialize with people. Fire pits were the big bang around here.
I believe it. All right. So another interesting thing I learned just now in this conversation is that when you were young and just kind of playing around with a camera, you did some horror stuff.
I did. That was primarily, I think, all I did. And it was like classic, you know, it was in the 80s. So, you know, it's all those classic 80s horror movies were out, which are amazing. And I have a funny relationship with horror because my stuff, like, you know, you've seen it. It gets a little darker what's coming up. But, you know, it's not, I don't consider it horror, even though it gets put in horror a lot, which surprises me. It's, you know, it's psychological, dark. It's dark psychological. I don't think horror. So I have a funny relationship with horror where I'll go through phases where I really like it. Like, you know, as a teen, which we all did, I think not all, but you know, all those movies were fantastic. And then, you know, but then I found through phases where I can't stand it and I can't look at it. So it's really interesting to me. And then during the pandemic, I went back and I was watching a lot of, you know, horror shorts. Interesting. Yeah. So
it is interesting. I was going to say, yeah, your work, there is you do explore the dark side of humanity, but you do it more in a dramatic / comedic. It's, you also kind of walk, you're a genre breaker. You definitely don't follow, you don't stay inside a pen, because your films, well, Crows is more dramatic, I think. But like Squirrels in the Attic, you definitely played with It's going to be a little funny, but it's going to be a little serious. There's going to be a sense of danger, but there's also going to be a sense of whimsy. Like you, you don't just follow the rules of like, I'm going to write something that's dark and scary.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like I'm always like, when I write, it's story and character and then where that goes. But because I do always have a trouble like classifying them. People are like, what is it? And I was like, eh. You know, somebody called Crows folk horror, which I love that. I think that fits pretty well. But again, they're all different too. And the new one coming off is Penny. It's definitely, I mean, I've been calling that one psychological horror and I think it fits. But again, still it's, you know, it's got some dark humor. So again, you know, a little bit genre breaking as well.
Well, really, the word thriller kind of applies to both films, I think, because there is a sense of danger and there's a character you want to escape that danger, right? And that's pretty much what a thriller is supposed to be. I mean, I don't know, you know, the genre thing, as a festival programmer and someone who's been involved in film for like 30 years now, I started off anti-genre, like film is film and you don't have to classify them. But then you realize when you start giving out awards for a couple of years that it sucks for all the, it just sucks that no matter what you say to a jury, drama is always going to get the awards. Comedy and horror and thriller and I love weird shit, as you know. So it's like, and like, so art housey stuff, unless it's highbrow artsy, it's, yeah. So you, I mean, we just rely on all these genres. I think we're up to six genres now, just so that more work gets acknowledged for its greatness. Cause
yeah,
you know, it sucks if it's just like, you know, and honestly, you know, not to be anti-politically correct, but I mean, you know, when there's a wonderful film about sexual assault, it's gonna clean up awards. I just don't want it to crowd out all the other stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm sure it's hard for you sometimes to categorize these films a lot of times, right? You know, when you do have those genres, like, where do we put this? You know,
well, you guys choose them as you submit. And then, and then if I see something and I'm like, well, that'll do better in another spot, sometimes I'll send an email saying, hey, would you rather compete in such and such? But honestly, as a programmer, I think, you know, I have the programmer's prize category.
Yeah, yeah.
So, although I think that was just so that like I can look people in the eye and say, I've never put my finger on the scale and cheated for somebody I like. Like if there's a film, you know, the cool thing is, by the way, Squirrels in the Attic got Audience Award for Short Film at Filmvasion 2020.
Yeah.
And In the Company of Crows got Best Production Design in 2021. So if there's a film, like let's say Crows didn't get something, then the programmer's prize is in my back pocket for me to say, well, I mean, it's so good and like, fine, it didn't like, you know, the jury didn't choose it as their number one favorite in any particular category, but it's so good and original, different than I could have like, if you hadn't gotten production design, you probably were going to get a programmer's prize. Cause like the programmer's prize is my way of making sure that, you know, I'm not mad. I can go to sleep at night because the programmer's prize, cause I'm like totally goofy about it. I'm like, I feel so like when there's a film I think is really cool and it gets no love, I'm like, man, that bothers me. And then normally the filmmaker tells me, oh no, I'm just happy to be an official selection.
I mean, I think awards are so funny because, you know, people have such different taste, you know? So it's, you know, I never take that stuff personally, at all.
Your story kind of inspires me because, when Lost Opera won and you were there to receive it, like it sounded like it was inspiring and sort of helped you jump into it more.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're very encouraging. I mean, I'm not saying I love getting them, you know, because they're like, oh my gosh, somebody recognized, you know, who doesn't like to? But like, I would never get upset if I didn't. It was funny for production design. We were very surprised by that. Jacob and I are like, oh, that was unexpected.
you know, But then you thought, did you think about it and go, actually, the film really looks cool. And
oh yeah, I mean, I think,
and it's, and honestly, it looks, for lack of a better term, it looks big budget. Like, it looks like you did some nice, there's some nice work in that. And of course, you're the director, so winning production design, but like, it's not going to have good production design if the director doesn't have some vision.
Well, you know, this is why it makes me laugh. I'll tell you this now. So the production design, I mean, the house, like, that's my friend's house that we filmed at. So like, I saw it and I was like, I need to use this for a script, and they let me. But that house is gutted. And so I am the production designer. I took like furniture from my basement, moved it. Like, so I did all, I mean, I do all that in the fire, all that stuff that's in there. But it was pretty minimal because, you know, I think it's a lot of cinematography. Like the goal with this one was to really amp up the cinematography because we had this spot. And, you know, I found the screenplay that worked. I had a couple that could have worked, and then this one was the best for it because it's really what I wrote, and they just needed to be neighbors. And it wasn't on a lake in my screenplay, but that was a bonus because, you know, we got some great, you know, cinematography in there. Yeah. So, but I love that part. I love, like, I do all the set design, I do wardrobe. That's the part of directing that I like the best. And I love, like, casting is really fun. I love it. The one that I just did was 8 people. That was more challenging because before that, it's just been the 3 for each film. So that was, but I love that part. So all those parts are fun. It's like brings them all together for the, you know, it just, these things you can do to add to this picture you have in your mind.
When you always do a really good job casting, I mean, I know Crows, you were limited in casting from COVID and whatnot, but
yeah.
But like Squirrels, like you, I mean, I think it's fair to say, actually, I'm kind of shocked. Maybe we didn't have individual acting awards yet. It's hard because your lead, I think it's Charlie.
Charlie. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's like, I've had so many filmmakers who saw Squirrels in the Attic and said, oh my God, I want to work with that lead.
I think she ended up working with,
was it Nate and Rosie?
They're in contact. I don't know if they've done
it. They're in contact. Yeah. I say Nate and Rosie, like we should be using first names on a podcast, but yeah, actually a filmmaking team who is actually, you know, well, there's 2 of them. I think they make 2 shorts a year at this point. Like, they are just amazingly productive.
Yeah, they are. So, by the way, Charlie Carr is the lead character in Penny. So I got to work with her again. And Paul Kandarian, who played Dane in The Squirrels in the Attic, he plays her father in Penny, but it's in flashback, so they don't actually act together in this one. But yeah, we had a nice little Squirrels in the Attic reunion. It's fun.
Well, and you're doing what I think audiences love it too, when a filmmaker sort of starts building up a repertory theater vibe. It's always fun to see the same actors popping up in the same person's work. I think it's, and it obviously makes your job not easier, but it definitely is great that you can build on that relationship.
Oh yeah. Like, so when I was writing this over the, you know, the beginning of the pandemic, and Charlie and I were chatting about something online, we're talking about horror shorts, and she's like, oh my God, I'm really into them now too. If you ever have anything, you know, roll. And then I was like, oh my God, the one I'm writing right now, it's perfect for you. So yeah. So that worked out. So I knew, like, you know, while writing it, that was going to be her, like, halfway through. And that was really helpful.
Hey, you're like Paul Thomas Anderson, and she's your Philip Seymour Hoffman. you'll keep throwing things at her.
Yeah.
But I mean, also shows, like, I mean, you say you enjoy casting, but I mean, you've found some genuine gems.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's funny. New England's pretty, you know, it's obviously not as large as LA or New York, community, but there's a pretty strong, film community here. You know, and I'm finding more and more, and it's great. And there's actually a lot of, like, it's funny, a lot of Hollywood sets are coming to Boston because of the Massachusetts tax exemption. So we're getting a lot, you know, it's a lot more, the film community is just getting bigger, which is great.
And I assume there's a really good theatrical scene, like for live theater, and you can pull actors from that.
You're frozen.
Oh, I froze again? I should be talking because I think it'll record me even if you're frozen. Sometimes my internet is a little shaky. Oh man, now you're frozen for quite a while. Oh. And it is my internet connection.
Okay, you're back.
I'm back?
Okay.
All right.
You're back.
You know, the great thing is, even though we're recording this, I could go back and edit that annoying little freeze. But then again, everyone's used to it now. Like, we're on Zoom.
I know, exactly.
The world has lowered its standards. All right. So is there a goal? Like, are you aiming towards a feature, or are you just, by the way, I love that you said what you said about shorts, because obviously I think, you know, I have huge enthusiasm for shorts, because I think for a couple reasons, but one of them is I just love that filmmakers like yourself, you really get to just play out your vision, you know? And if it were 90, 100 minutes, even 80 minutes, there's so much more compromise because it's just harder. Whereas when you watch shorts, I mean, that's why the Discover Indie Film TV series happened, is that, you know, it's so cool to watch. You know, I think shorts are way more entertaining than people understand.
Yeah. And there's also like a funny, like, again, people who aren't aware of shorts or whatever. I've had people comment who are not in filmmaking on my shorts, and they think they're like trailers or something, even though they're pretty long. They're like, I can't wait to see the whole thing. And I was like, that is the whole thing.
That is the whole thing.
but you know, they've just, my goal is absolutely to do a feature. I'm writing one now, and I have some written too. I don't think I could do those like myself, but
right. That was back when you were writing, when you were figuring, hey, I'm going to write like with no budget in mind, like just writing.
Yes,
you know,
exactly. Yeah,
figuring, I'll, you know, someone will budget it.
Like the Lost Opera is like huge budget. But my features actually could be done for minimal if I edited them, but I'm working on some new material. So that's my goal. But yeah, I think I feel like I want to do, there's so many short stories I want to tell. So probably do a couple more, shorts. Cause I've learned, like, I just learned different things every time. It's crazy. Like, for the one that we just did, it was a really intense shoot. I was probably over ambitious and it was, you know, we did it in 3 days again, and it was like a 20 page script. So, and I thought it, you know, because it's in one location, that would be easier, but we had so many setups. So
and I was going to say it wasn't all dialogue, right? Like 20 pages, if it's just two people in a room talking, you can get you're a very descriptive writer, I think.
I am very descriptive, yeah. And so this is, you know, it's eight. So it's about a female chef who's, she's fighting off these dark impulses that stem from her mentally ill mother while trying to date. And so, like, you know, there's some dark comedy in the dating, but like all this stuff's coming to the surface of what happened in her past. So there are flashbacks. And there's current day. So that was like a lot, tons of setups. You know, I worked with a child actor for the first time. That was fun. And, you know, so every time is like, you know, a whole bunch of new stuff. Like, we have tons of new scenarios every time because it's a different story, different place, different actors for the most part. So, I feel like I have a few more to do before a feature, but that's the ultimate goal.
For sure. And because you are... because you like playing with other genres, because you're not just making the same type of film over and over. Like, it's not like you're just flexing the same muscles over and over. You're really doing something different each time.
Yes, and that's on purpose for sure. Like, you don't want to be boring. you don't want to be predictable, I should say. Or because I like watching things that are unpredictable. That's part of the reason I write like I write, you know, with my endings tend to.
Well, and you were an English major. Were you like a psych minor? Because you seem to have a lot of insight to.
I wasn't, but I do love that. I'm just really interested in that. And, you know, I've always been a big observer of people, which is what you can learn the most from.
I was the same way. I didn't study psych, but I was the one that it took quite a while for me not to just have troubled friends. I was the person in high school that everyone with problems talked to. I don't know. And I was a writer. What are you going to do? I guess people sense when you're a listener.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sure. Well, you're moving forward with all this. By the way, I think, didn't you have I'm just going to ask, like you actually write for science, right? You do science writing?
Yes. I work for the American Meteorological Society.
I bring that up because I forget where I learned that. I don't know if you told me at the festival or what, but the American Meteorological Society, that sounds pretty... That sounds pretty highbrow to me. I just kind of want people to know, like, hey, Rachel's the real deal.
it's a very different kind of writer. So it's not quite, ooh, I just snorted. It's not as fun.
Maybe my goal should have been to get a snort out of you. But.
Yeah, I've been there for like 25 plus years. It's been a long time. You know, I love my job. I love the people I work with. But, you know, it's not a creative outlet for me. So this serves as that right now.
Right. So and it is a writing related job, right? Or
it's writing. I'm the news editor.
Right. So it's still explanations and an element of storytelling. But yeah, you're communicating technical information.
Yeah. And I interview a lot of scientists. Like I do a lot of people pieces.
Really? From that,
yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm interviewing like you are.
For sure. Only you're meteorologist, man. I'm kind of jealous of that. I would, if you're ever too sick, no, I could not, I would love to be your backup. I'm a secret, astronomy nerd.
Are you?
like the average, I don't know, maybe slightly more than most, but yeah, I think it's the most fascinating stuff.
There's, you know how many weather nerds there are in the world. Most people are fascinated by the weather.
For sure. For sure. It's been a big topic too.
Yes, always.
Especially trying to explain the difference between weather and climate. But
I won't do that today.
no. All right. Well, I don't want to push you too hard here. We can, we can wrap up the interview part and do your four questions part if you want, if there's nothing.
Sure. I just want to say one more thing I have another film coming out other than Penny, which the rough cut's getting close to done. But I had the film that I did not direct. So a different experience this time, but it was my screenplay that won, the Emerging Screenwriters, Shoot Your Short grand prize. And so the prize was, it was shot and it was actually out in LA. I was there in July for the shoot and it's called Influence. And I'm really excited. I just saw the rough cut of it. It was a really amazing experience working with a director and being on a set. That was not my set. It's really also fun not to have that pressure. I was like, this is great. So I was very involved, but like didn't have the director pressure. So that was and he was wonderful to work with. We worked together for like a year and he was very cognizant of keeping my story as I wrote it, which I know also doesn't happen all the time. So
yeah, I was going to ask if they were turning to you and asking for rewrites like a Hollywood set.
There was a little bit of that. Yeah. Like that happened mostly before we got there and it wasn't a lot of rewriting, but like he needed time for a shot. He's like, can you put some more dialogue and just like a couple lines to get this, you know, to get this pan in. And, So yeah, I had a fantastic experience, but I'm really excited. I won't talk about it a lot because it's one of those ones that the less you know, just watching it is fun, and it's very much a dark, dark comedy.
Is that the ISA?
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're
International Screenwriters Association. It's funny because when you won it, I was like, wow. Because I've been aware of the ISA for a long time and like dealt with the people working there. And I always thought they were super nice. And I was like,
they were wonderful. Like, you know, because I got to work with them on set too. And ahead of time, you know, we've been a lot of Zoom meetings about it. No, they're so fantastic. I love them. It's been a great experience. So
I probably shouldn't add this, but like Film Freeway doesn't muscle us, but Film Freeway gives us a much better, they take a much smaller percentage of fee from us if we go exclusive with them. So when we stopped accepting things through ISA's system.
Oh, okay.
They were like, come on, shouldn't you work with us still? And I was like, dude, we get like 10 scripts from you and we get like 100 from the other. So it's like, doesn't, I felt bad that we had to stop working with them, but.
Oh, I didn't know it worked that way with the Fiat. Why would I?
But yeah. Why would, yeah. Yeah. It actually will film. And it makes sense. Film Freeway is like, you know, hey, we'll take a smaller cut of your and submission fees if you make us your exclusive, you know, whatever submission platform.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So I was really glad to see you got something through ISA. That was cool to see.
Thanks. Yeah, it's exciting. So I have two stories out this year.
Yeah, two films. And that one you're not even, that one you're not telling them who to submit to. Like, so.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I could suggest places.
I mean, you could suggest Film Invasion, you know.
I could.
Submission's open now.
It is going to premiere at Holly Shorts. That was part of the prize. But then as for the rest, it's kind of...
So they've got to save it. And Holly Shorts is in November, right?
I don't know. I think they have... I think it's more than once a year. I don't even know.
But, okay. Yeah, it's funny because some of our board members are friends with them. And sometimes they steal a film from us. And I'm like, oh, man. Because I think they're like a week before. But now I can't remember if it's a week before Film Invasion or a week before Sherman Oaks. But anyhow, well, congrats. That means you have a film that's premiering at Holly Shorts, which is a great festival.
Yeah.
I think they're Oscar qualifying even, which we are not. But both Film Invasion LA and Sherman Oaks Film Festival are ranked in the top 100 best reviewed.
Yay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Kenny will be at one. It should be done for Film Invasion. That's my goal.
Oh, excellent.
So we'll see.
You move quickly. I must say. All right. Well, I'm glad you got that in. By the way, I guess I should also ask you the last question of, is there a website or anything that people should check out or social media, something if they want to follow your work?
Sure. My website is www.rachelspinnerthomas.com. And... at Rachel Spinner Thomas on Instagram. I have to update my website. That's on my list.
Which is funny because I think I actually, well, I'll ask you after we stop recording.
Okay.
Well, no, it's about your name because sometimes you have different scripts under different names, I think. So I don't, I should have asked you in the beginning how, when I introduced you, like, What's the preferred surname?
Well, it's whether I just use the hyphenated name or not. And I do use it as a writer name, the hyphen. I just, my website isn't that because it's too complicated. Like, or Instagram. So, yeah. But either one, it doesn't matter.
So me. when I introduced you as Rachel Thomas Medwitt, I did all right.
Yes, you did.
Okay. I just didn't want to, all of a sudden I had a thought of like, oh crap, man. Does she not use the hyphen? But I pulled it off the Sherman Oaks Film Festival website. So you must've used it in that submission.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually use it, but I'm not super consistent.
Although most of the time I think you've used Rachel Thomas, which I imagine is your maiden name.
Yeah. It's just easier. I wouldn't have hyphenated my name looking back, but I did. So.
That's funny because I keep telling my 14-year-old stepdaughter, I keep going, hey, I don't think women should have to change their names when they get married. I think it's antiquated and it's kind of rubs me the wrong way, to be honest.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't going to change it, but I was like, oh, maybe use both in case we have kids, you know, just so you have that there. And then, so that's made it super complicated because I use it, as you've noticed, sometimes and sometimes not.
That's true. But I always think dudes should hyphenate too. If the woman hyphenates, so should the guy.
I have a coworker who he married another coworker and they did that.
They did that. See, that I can go with. I can go with that. Or come up with a whole new one. I don't know why I'm going to share this. It's because I see Rachel as a friend. I'm saying this, but like the one person I can't convince is my ex-wife because she hated her last name her entire life. And so she grabbed mine and she won't let go of it now.
She won't give it back.
She won't give it back, but it's okay. And then she married, and now her second husband has a horrible last name. And so she's keeping Howard. And I'm like, shouldn't you take his name? She's like, no, I like Howard. It's also the same initial as her maiden name. But I was like, you don't have to take my name. She's like, I've been dying to change my name my whole life. So
that's funny.
Yeah, crazy. All right. Well, I will do a quick wrap up.
Okay.
I don't think I talked enough about, well, whatever, about the TV series, but I'm really proud that Rachel's film, The Squirrels in the Attic, is going to be in season 5 of the Discover Indie Film TV series. If it wasn't clear from this chat, shame on me. But yeah, when I started this podcast, I started talking to all the filmmakers whose work I really love. And I found out that all the features would go onto streaming services and have a really nice life. And shorts kind of got ignored, right? Just as Rachel was saying, like a lot of people who see her shorts don't even realize they're watching a short at first. So the Discovery New Film TV series was born out of the podcast. It's just an anthology of all the best shorts from the festival circuit. So I highly recommend people go to Prime Video any way you can, but preferably not on a phone. I hate when people watch movies on phones. You should definitely use a TV at least. And go to Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. Right now there's 4 seasons, I believe, in March, which is 2 months from now. Season 5 with Rachel's directorial debut, The Squirrels in the Attic, will be in there. And there, I said it. And now, if you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series, that's discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's at DIFWins. And I forgot to grade Grub. 5 stars. Hey, everybody. Give 5 stars to this podcast, the TV series, anything you can. If you can give 5 stars, if you see one of Rachel's film somewhere, give it a like, give it 5 stars, whatever. Give this podcast, if you're listening still, click like and subscribe and all that. If you can give it 5 stars, I appreciate it. All right, and we mentioned both film festivals I program. That's Sherman Oaks Film Festival in November, ShermanOaksFF.com and at ShermanOaksFF, and it's FilmInvasionLA.com for the June festival. That's FilmInvasion Los Angeles, and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And I just did a really bad job. I am normally much better at rambling off that stuff, but what can I say? All right. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
I'm going to hit stop on the record, and then we're going to start recording again so that she can answer the 4 questions and tell us her favorite films and maybe some films that aren't her favorites. But thank you, everyone, for listening.